It's often thought that men who express their emotions are seen as weak. Right now, we'll show you just how wrong that is. It's Triple M's Real Men Can Talk.
The conversation between two blokes, potentially, we may not have here at Triple M, to show that we can indeed have this conversation that can sometimes be a little tough. Today's guest, Australian cricket legend and a very much loved member here at Triple M as part of the Rush Hour, Greg Blewett. Hello, mate.
G'day, Benny.
Bluey. This isn't a conversation you and I would normally have, is it?
No.
It's obviously got to do with No Talk Day and getting blokes that are struggling to reach out to have that conversation. So that particular message for you, how important is that for you as a bloke?
You know what, Benny? I've been sort of thinking about this a little bit, and I'm 49 years of age, and I can't remember my family ever sitting down and talking about anything, really. We just came from one of those, mum grew up in the Adelaide Hills, pretty, you know, probably considered herself a bit of a country girl.
Yep.
Dad was pretty old-fashioned, you know, like the head of the house. But we didn't talk about anything, really. I mean, we had obviously conversed, but any serious issues, we just sort of like, you know, just brushed them aside and hope that they would probably, you know, fix themselves. So I'm really – I know we've got to be a lot better, us blokes, at talking – but I am really proud that this next generation of blokes are getting better at it. And through my coaching that I've been able to keep going for a number of years now, I've been around guys of, you know, younger generation, you know, anywhere between 15 and 35. And we've spoken a lot about, you know, mental health, and tried to educate the guys that are in that system. And there's certainly been incidents of, you know, guys that have put their hand up, and there's no way that would have happened in my era. And then just the general conversations that you have with blokes of that younger generation, that they are so much prepared to open up and just, you know, say that they are struggling. So I know we've got a long way to go, but I'm really encouraged that, you know, we're having these conversations. Mm. We're having this day at Triple M, the No Talk Day, to raise awareness of it, because it's a huge issue. I mean, you know, as the stats say, 9 suicides a day, 7 of those are blokes. Mm. And that's not good enough. But I do feel like we're making strides, but we've just got to keep going. We've got to keep going with it.
Do you, like, this is a running theme, I think, and I've spoken to, obviously, Bern and Jars, and
yep.
it's a running theme that we kind of do struggle with it. We're getting better, for sure. But why do you think blokes tend to bottle it up or not have that conversation? We tend to go, right, this is hard, we're going to go this on our own. Why?
Yeah, I don't really know. Certainly it was, whether it's in our DNA, I do not know. But, you know, I was certainly brought up in that sort of way. You know, you don't show, you don't cry. You know, you get really hurt, there's no way you cry. And especially if it's something that's not physical, you don't really cry. I'm a crier as well. Like, honestly, since I've had children, especially, you know, I'll watch something on television, movies or whatever it is, podcasts, listen to something and I'm gone. And I'm not, won't make any apologies for that either. That's just who I am. So, you know, there's definitely, you know, people show their emotions in different ways, but, you know, through my own experience, as I said, like I come from a family that didn't really talk much, but going through a marriage breakup, had some counselling, and I didn't want to have the counselling. I was like, this isn't for me. This is not what I do. You know, like, I'll deal with the problem, but in my own way. But I can honestly say each and every one of those sessions that I went to afterwards, after I'd spoken about, you know, what I was going through or what we were going through, it was like the world had lifted off my shoulders. So I could not encourage it anymore, that if you are struggling or, you know, that there's something that's really bothering you, it, you know, either talk to a professional, it might be your best mate, it might be a conversation with your best mate, your dog or whatever, you know, like, just get it off your chest, because I was absolutely amazed, Benny, about how I felt for at least the week or 2 weeks after I'd had one of those sessions about just talking, get stuff off my chest.
Well, that was the question I had for you, was when was a time that you felt overwhelmed or low, and how did you manage that space? Was the divorce obviously something that...
Yep. And that coincided with the end of my career as well. So it was sort of like the double whammy for me. And I remember one of my great mates, James Brayshaw, sort of rang me one night and he said, come on, let's go to the pub and then have a chat. And I was like, well, no, I'm right. Don't worry about it. He goes, no. We are 7 o'clock, British Hotel. You and me are going to have a chat. So I rocked up, and there were two other mates as well. So he'd sort of gone behind my back and just sort of, you know, got a couple of other mates. And we just sat around, and, you know, they basically said, look, we think you're struggling. You know, what do you want? And we just sort of sat there for a couple of hours at the front bar in the British Hotel, and we just spoke. So I reckon that's a great example of, you know, someone looking out for your mate, and that's what Bray did at the time. There was something going on with me at that time as well, because I'm like anyone, like I love a beer, but I'm you know, certainly not a massive drinker, but I definitely went through a period where alcohol was affecting me in a different way. I'd still have 5 or 6 beers normally and I'd be okay, but at that, there was like a 3 or 4 month period there where I'd have the same amount to drink, but then I was having weird blackouts. You know, I'd wake up in the morning and just go, what the hell's going on? So then I had to make, you know, decisions around that as well. But when I look back on it, there's no doubt that whether it was, and I don't know enough about it, Benny, to be honest, whether there was some sort of chemical imbalance going on at the time, but I had to make some real decisions around that. Because there was something going on. So whether that's depression or what it was, who knows? But there was certainly a period where it was, you know, it was pretty ordinary.
Well, let's get back to like JB sorting you out that night with your mates having that convo. How did that make you feel?
Oh, it just, you know what? Nothing really came of it, but just the fact that he cared enough to say, Bluey, you know, not come on, mate, toughen up, pull your head in. It was like, no, let's have a chat. And even though I pushed back on it initially, he was like, mate, I'm not taking no for an answer. Let's just meet at the pub. So, I can't remember anything sort of life-changing coming out of that chat, but I suppose the effort that he went to and knew that he was thinking about me probably made the biggest difference in the end.
I think it highlights, though, Blue, that it's okay to have those chats. It's not weak.
Yeah.
It is a sign of strength and mateship and being there for each other. And that's part of what we're doing here today and what we're doing for No Talk To.
And I reckon, Benny, the hardest thing is probably getting the first few sentences out. And that might be, listen, Benny, I'm struggling, mate. Yeah. But once you do start talking, then, you know, away you go. And you don't know where that conversation is going to go. But I think that's the hardest thing. It's like bloody exercise. You know, the hardest thing to do is get started. But once you've started doing it for a couple of weeks, you start feeling better, you start getting fitter. And I think that's the same with, you know, talking about your mental health and some issues that you've got in your life. It's just making that initial breakthrough. Mm. And once you start talking, it just opens things up.
Has a mate come to you recently and said, Blue, I'm not okay?
Not recently, Benny. You know, last year, certainly being around some athletes, there was conversations around, you know, they'd already put their hand up and said, I'm struggling, but that wasn't directly to me. But there was, you know, conversations that happened after that. And then just being not sensitive, but just being someone there to talk to, really. I think that's the other thing. You know, some great advice someone gave to me was that, you know, the best communicators are the best listeners. So if you feel like someone is struggling, you know, probably the hardest thing to do is just sit there and listen and not say much. But often those people just want to, you know, talk and let you know, what's going on in their life. And you know, if you are in that situation, listen, you know, say, I'm not going to tell people what to say, but you know, that's probably one of the hardest things to do is just sit there and not say much and listen.
Well, it's kind of like human behavior. You want to fix it.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I totally agree with that. I think if you can hold a bucket while someone has a big spew.
Yep, correct.
It's an amazing thing.
Yep.
Hey, Blue, talking about like you, I had a father that was similar, didn't show emotion and didn't cry. I never had those conversations with him until I got older, which was quite strange. But you're a dad. How do you find, like, would you show your softer side to your kids?
Oh, 100%.
See, this is,
no,
yeah.
we Catherine is my wife, and we often talk about that. You know, she, not blowing wind up my own backside, but she says, you know, because her dad was a hard ass as well. He's now passed, but she was saying that, you know, dad would never, you know, never take me to school, never pick me up, never come to my sport, never do. But she's really happy that I'm hands on and you know, open with my love to my. I'd probably tell my boys and my 20-year-old daughter that I love them, you know, 25 times a day. I don't know, but that's just the way I am. But certainly, as my boys that are 4 and 6 at the moment get older, hopefully you've got those strong relationships that you've been able to speak a lot about different sort of topics as they're getting older and older, and things just, you know, there's nothing that you can't talk about. And that's certainly, I think, what every generation's got. It doesn't matter how good your father was or your mother, you got to hopefully be a better parent than what they were. And I think that's just what, you know, hopefully, you know, Rory and Sam, my two boys, will be a better father than what I am. And I think that's the legacy that we got to keep trying to build.
It's because, like, you'd want them to feel safe one day to go, hey, Dad, I'm not okay.
Yeah.
And then you could actually show them, you know, it's all right to have feelings. It's okay to feel sad. It's okay to cry sometimes. In my house, Blue, we didn't really, it's not that Dad wasn't there for us, but it just kind of, he never showed that side. So potentially we didn't want to show him that side in return.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or hopefully, you know, Dad was one of those guys, mate, you know, toughen up, you'll be right, that sort of thing. And I'm sure at different stages of my boys' lives, there's going to be times where maybe they need that message, but probably, you know, other times it's going to be, mate, come on, tell me what's really going on. And hopefully, you know, my boys, we've got that loving relationship that where they can tell me what's going on and what's bothering them. And hopefully we get it sorted out.
Now, there's one question I'm going to ask you, and I won't tell you what everyone else said, but it's just to prove a point here, and it's going to be really interesting what you say. If you and I, Blue, we were together for what, a year now? Year and a bit?
Yep.
We always have a good chat around the office, but we usually pile on each other, and well, usually you and me pile on Jars because that's the way it goes. But if I took you aside, Blue, and said, mate, I'm not okay, what would you say to me? Just being, again, we don't really hang outside a lot of work, let's be honest, but here in this place, if I said that, what would you say to me?
If you came to me and said, I'm not okay, then I would probably say, all right, mate, let's go for a coffee, let's go down to the pub, have a beer, and I would say, okay, Benny, well, tell me what's going on. And I'd leave it up to you to tell me what's going on. I'd be more than comfortable for you to then talk to me as you want to, right? Instead of, like, probably going to someone else and saying, oh, you know, look, Benny's just come to me. But I'd rather hear it from you to tell me what was going on. So hopefully that relationship's strong enough where we could do it.
And I say that because each one of you blokes has said the same thing. And I said that for a reason, because for those blokes that are scared to have the conversation with a loved one, here's me just proven that the blokes I work with, that we all pile on each other. We haven't had that each one of you have said, I'll take your side, give you a hug and be there for you.
Yeah.
And I think, well, that's a powerful message.
Yeah. I think, you know, the worst thing that anyone could do is go, well, you know, go talk to Jars about it, or go talk to Maddie about it, go talk to your boss about it. So if someone's willing or courageous enough to come to you and say, listen, I'm not in a great way, can I talk about it? Then, you know, you would think that just about everyone will go, right, well, come on, let's have a chat.
Day-to-day struggles, Blue, just general stress, relationship, you know, it could be anything. How do you manage that space? Because eventually a lot of blokes go through that and it can wear them down or whatever they're going through, and sometimes it might seem just too much depending on what you're going through.
Yeah.
That day-to-day space where you keep your mental health healthy, what do you do?
Yeah, that's why I love my marriage at the moment. I mean, Catherine and I, there's no secrets. We just talk to each other about everything. Look, I've got my things in my life that I need to do, and I've made that really open to Catherine right from the get-go about having my own time at a certain time in the day, whether that be, you know, everyone knows I play a lot of golf, but I honestly need that in my life. I'm a really competitive person. And when I go and play golf, yes, it's to, you know, be out in the fresh air and play on a great golf course and get a little bit of exercise, but mainly it's about sort of keeping my competitive juices going. And if I didn't have that, then I reckon, you know, I've obviously got my family, but for myself, I just really need to do that. And there's a couple of other things that Catherine's aware of that I sort of need to do from time to time. But we've been really open about that. And if I'm, you know, struggling, I'm happy to have that conversation with her as well.
That's healthy. You actually talk to your wife as well, which is brilliant.
Yep.
Blue, for people that listen to this podcast and, you know, big fans of yours, is there a particular message you want to say to blokes listening right now who might be actually struggling?
Yeah. The fact that people aren't necessarily talking about it, and we go through the statistics that, you know, 9 people are committing suicide a day and 7 are blokes. It's probably because they're not talking. That's probably one of the biggest drivers of those statistics. Mm. And if you are struggling, find someone to be courageous enough. As I said earlier in the podcast, it's probably that first 30 seconds with that person that might feel a little bit awkward, but that's 30 seconds out of your life or 30 seconds out of your day to try and sort something out that might change your life. So don't be pig-headed enough to say to yourself or have feelings that you're going to sort it out yourself. It might just, something that someone says might just trigger something that might turn your life around. So get out there, have the conversations, and I'm sure it's going to help.
Yep. All right, let's finish on this one, Blue. The start of this, I said this is a new space for you and me. We haven't done this before. Well, we just recorded it and then the podcast. How does that feel?
No, it feels great. I mean,
it was pretty
just
easy,
having,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh. No. Piece of cake. I mean, I didn't really know. I knew what we were going to talk about in terms of, mental health and the suicide rates. But you know, I didn't really know where it was going. And you know, once you start talking, you open up, and feels good.
There you go, Greg Blewett. Thank you, mate.
No worries, mate.
Triple M's Real Men Can Talk. Have the conversation today. If you are struggling or know someone who is, contact Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or visit beyondblue.org.au.